Jared Doyle Show.
A little bit of entertainment conversation here on the program for you. A little bit about the VMAs and a little bit about the Emmys. I don't know if you got a chance to watch the Emmys last night. I don't think I ever watched the Emmys when I was in the business, but I do watch the Emmys and the Academy Awards now that I'm not. I don't know why. If there's a doctor in the house, please call 800-449-8255 and tell me why that is going on. I thought Seth Meyers did a great job last night. And there were a lot of highs, and some people say, unfortunately, there were a few lows. And one of them in the Emmys last night involved Sofia Vergara of Modern Family, who stepped onto a pedestal that was rotating while the Academy president, Bruce Rosenblum, did his annual dull speech. And the speech was about diversity. And I got to tell you, I couldn't tell you last night what the speech was about because I was enamored by the rotating Sofia Vergara. Now, a lot of people were saying that that was sexist and that it was just, you know, objectification of women. And even Sofia Vergara said, relax. Joining us on the program, an actress, you probably know her from her work on 24, Dr. Nora Thompson on The Young and the Restless. An author, her book Dirty Words on Clean Skin, which, by the way, spent 4 months, number one position, Amazon.com's Women in Politics list. She's an active blogger, an award recipient for that, and an EpicTimes.com contributor. And you know her, and I know her, as Anita Finley. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jerry. Always such a lovely introduction.
I try. I'm great. I'm really great. How are you? Everything good? Yeah,
everything is wonderful. Just writing up a storm, working on a new book, and I'm hoping to, you know, be at the place of new draft to hand in a few weeks. So that's why I've sort of been sequestered and hidden away from the rest of the world.
Do you like your editor, or do you want to kill him or her?
My editor, no.
Really?
She's great. Yes, I've worked with her before. She's wonderful.
Oh, okay, that's good. Because sometimes when you get with the editor, they want to change the to the, and you want to. Oh, and I want to jam an ice pick in my ear. Like people say, hey, Jerry, you ever going to write another book? And I go, don't think so. I really don't. I found it to be an absolutely torturous experience.
I'm also a blogger, you know, so obviously I just love the written word to the point that I can sit there. I realize that as much as I love acting and I'll get up and act on the back of a hay wagon, I don't care. But writing is just something I could sit there and noodle with a paragraph for hours and be very happy. I forget to eat. I forget what time it is. I just don't think about it. It's great joy to me. I think I know why. Because as an actor all these years, you don't have, you know, something is on tape, you know, it's on film, whatever. You know, there, I guess, is that you could say that's a physical product. But so much of what we do, and I work as a theater performer too, there's nothing to show for it. You know what I mean? It's all air. And that is, what have you done for me lately? But a book, something that you've written, is something physical. It's something that's there forever. So I think that I enjoy, you know, the craft part of that. It's something I can look at later.
Now, are you on a deadline? Did they give you an accelerated time frame in which to complete this? Because maybe that's what was working against me, because they said typically they want a year, you know, from contract to delivery. And they put me on 7 months. And it was just like, you know, you get done with the radio show, then you'd have to go write. And then you get up in the morning, you'd have to write and prep for the radio show. And then when you get done with the book, then you have to do the book on tape. And, you know, again, I'm not complaining. I don't know if it was the process for me that I didn't enjoy as much as I did the end product.
I think that's, you know, always true, that unless you know, when you have an accelerated deadline, unless it feels like a joy and a luxury and you feel like it's going to school, that always takes the joy out of it for everybody. So I get that.
And I had post-bookpartum depression, too, because everything had been so intense. And I was talking to another writer, you know, Brad Thor, and I was like, I'm in a funk, man. And he goes, yeah. And he's written a ton of books, New York Times bestsellers. And he said, because everything was focused on delivering that book. Every day it was about that book. And then when it was no longer about that book, what were you going to do? How were you going to fill your time? What was your focus? And then I came to understand postpartum depression when it comes to women giving birth to kids.
Well, that's very true. But it's also very true of, you know, actors when they think, you know, the show has come down, either the series was canceled or the theater piece has closed. You know, you've been thinking so much of your energy and dedicating so much of your time to something, and then you don't have any place to put all those creative juices. So, yeah, that does happen, sure.
Hey, Did you watch the Emmys last night?
Yes, I did. I didn't watch them cover to cover, but I saw most of them. And I have to say, first of all, you know, I will comment on the Sofia Vergara thing in a second, but I just wanted to chime in and say I thought that Billy Crystal's tribute to Robin Williams was lovely and was very touching and spot on. They're such old friends, I really don't know how he held himself together, but I thought that he struck just the right note. And it's just, you know, that is such a distressing situation to so many people, me included, I think, because people can't reconcile the public comedic genius with whatever his private demons must have been. And I'm so sorry that he lost that fight. But deepest condolences to his family.
And it's almost like people who are notoriously funny or entertaining can never have a bad day. And unfortunately, what we saw
with the
press conference from the sheriff and the medical examiner, you know, the gruesome details of how he ended his life. I said on the program, Anita, when you live famously, you can't die anonymously. You know, that was a bit much, but I thought Billy Crystal kind of reset the parameters, so to speak, of how, you know, he will become to be remembered. Sofia Vergara,
yes.
Modern Family, she's wicked funny, and she's blazingly good-looking.
I had a different take on all of this.
All right, well, let me just for the audience's sake, the Huffington Post on Twitter, news sites, with her showing off her curves on that revolving pedestal. The Huffington Post said, a very troubling turn. Jezebel said she was treated like a literal object. Salon said, a bizarre objectifying Emmy moment. But Vergara said, I think it's absolutely the opposite. It means that somebody could be hot and also be funny and make fun of herself. I think it's ridiculous that somebody started this. I know who she was, but I guess we don't know who that is. Who has no sense of humor and should lighten up a little bit. Your take on it?
My take is that this was very much like the meta joke that Seth MacFarlane was doing when he hosted the Oscars over a year ago. And if people remember, he did this big number about "We saw your boobs," and he's got, you know, this big background. And they're talking about, basically, for anybody who missed it, all of the most famous actresses, from Meryl Streep to Charlize Theron and so on, that, you know, the most brilliant Oscar-winning performances. And he says, well, all you're going to remember is that we actually saw your naked breasts in the film. And so people were in an uproar about this because they said that, you know, he was objectifying women. But what's interesting, when he's singing "We Saw Your Boobs," there is a cutaway to Charlize Theron, who is doing a face palm. But a lot of people didn't notice this. If you look at it, she's wearing a different outfit than she is at the actual Oscar telecast, which means two things. One, they taped it in advance. And number two, that means that all the actresses were in on the joke. So what they're trying to accomplish here is to make the meta joke that, yes, women in this business are objectified, and we know about it, and we're trying to draw attention to it. But I thought that whether you liked Seth MacFarlane's idea, you know, or whoever came up with it, he's a writer too, so I'm assuming that he did, but I mean, whoever came up with it, I thought that was at least a more successful way of pointing that out. As far as Sofia Vergara is concerned, I think they were kind of doing the same kind of thing. It's like, oh, I'm going to get up and talk, and I'm so damn boring that I need to have the eye candy standing here, because at the point she's actually standing there pointing at her own behind. So clearly, she's in on the joke, you know, very much so. And I got to tell you, that didn't upset me half as much as the fact that this stunning Latina woman walks out and basically has blonde hair. This bothered me more than anything else, because I am so deeply offended that women who are exotic and so beautiful, for whatever reason, wish to or are pressured to, I don't know the answer to that, think that they need to somehow homogenize themselves as if being a blonde is, you know, is the desired way to be, and that that is the paying of beauty. I don't think, if you're blonde, good for you. I'm sure you're gorgeous. God bless. But I don't think that makes anybody more or less beautiful. She was stunning the way she looked originally. I mean, you could put a burlap sack and sneakers on this woman.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like she's going to look brilliant no matter what. I don't understand this. That actually struck me as more than anything else, that a joke she was clearly in on, you know, making fun of the sexism of all of it.
The thing that I came away from, one of the things I came away from with Anita, is I had no idea that the guy who's the president of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, Bruce Rosenblum, was talking about diversity. I had no idea because I paid absolutely no attention to him.
That's right. See, Jerry, that was the bigger problem, actually. I'm so glad that you said that, because that's the bigger problem even than them pointing out the sexism, because, as I say, she was in on it. But if he's talking about diversity, she's so funny up there, aside from being beautiful, she was being funny. And so I'm busy watching what she's doing. I didn't get one word that he said. That, I think, is even the bigger problem. And if anybody wanted to be insulted, that's what they should have been insulted about, because, you know, we should be talking about diversity, absolutely. But then why don't you have the guts to just stand up there and assume that you're going to hold people's audiences or get somebody more exciting, man or woman, to stand up there and talk about it so we do listen to you?
Right.
You know, that's, I think that was, in that particular case, the more difficult message.
I like the way she handled it, though. She said, oh, come on, just lighten up. You know, I mean, these shows in and of themselves can have a certain goof factor to them, you know, in and of themselves. But she's, I think she's a stunning woman. She's incredibly talented. That show, by the way, is just killing it. I mean, they had the best comedy series Emmy fifth time. That ties Frasier for all-time most wins in that category. I think it's a great cast. I think she does a great job. I've seen her many times interviewed on Ellen. And she just has a really good sense of humor. But I think she knows how to use her sex appeal and doesn't use it as a crutch. I think she is a talented actress that happens to be a bombshell, as opposed to a bombshell who's trying to be an actress.
Oh, that is bingo. That is absolutely true. And she's having just as much fun with it as possible. You know, her tongue is firmly planted in her cheek when she's doing all of this on Modern Family and wherever she appears. So she's using it to her own benefit and having a great time. And that's actually an empowering thing when you think about it, rather than somebody who is being used for their sexuality, but, you know, sort of being blown sideways through life, as it were.
Did you see the VMAs? I thought that was an absolute train wreck for women.
Well, yeah, you know, I got a big problem with the, you know, with the wardrobe malfunctions and the way that women are dressed and all of this. I mean, I was very conflicted, to be honest. I didn't watch the whole thing. I'd been sort of trying to piece it together because of my schedule, looking at different videos of different performances. And I have to talk about Beyonce. I mean, obviously, she's the central focus of the evening with this 17-minute Tour de Force, you know, dance performance that is a medley of all the songs from her latest album. You know, good for her that she's that powerful. I mean, that, you know, she's reached the top, the pinnacle of success in her business. But it was very interesting, you know, that she's got the word feminist emblazoned behind her at one brief point in her performance. And the message there was a voiceover saying, you know, women are taught not to have as powerful a sexuality as men. Women are taught to be smaller and do not strive to be as successful as they are. And, you know, I really thought that was a great message to offer. And to the extent that women who are far younger than me are more likely to listen to her than listen to me, good if they can get some kind of a message out of that. The only problem I have is that, you know, by always advertising yourself as this hypersexualized creature. Let me give you another example. When they were at the Grammys, I believe it was, she comes on stage with her husband. She's wearing the little eyelet panties and dressed like a Victoria's Secret model. And then he's wearing a tux. And she's sort of posing and prancing around in front of him. That is a very sexist image. So, you know, you can say, well, that's what we do in the boudoir kind of thing, and that's our private deal, and I'm still very empowered. Great. But the message, the visual message that is still being sent is the woman who's performing for the man and that she is somehow subservient to him.
Yeah.
So they're sending kind of a mixed message there. That's the only problem I have with that. The rest of it, you know, with the rest of these wardrobe malfunctions, they're selling sex, I don't really have much of a comment.
I know. I look at Nicki Minaj, and I'm just like, wow. I'm just like, seriously? I mean, that's, well, I know she's not putting her foot forward, She was definitely working something else. But it just, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, I was listening to a lot of the commentators in the morning in the lead up to the VMAs talking about how this is the year of the woman, and look at Taylor Swift, and look at, you know, and look at all these women that are doing all these wonderful things in music. And then in the Video Music Awards, I was like, what? It looked like a Star Wars bar strip joint. That's how it came across to me.
That's a great way of putting it. The only way I can equate this is going back to Beyonce. I remember when she was trying to hide her baby bump, she goes on stage with a gorgeous sequin jacket and slacks and a microphone, and she sang the most stunning ballad. I'm telling you, this woman is so talented, and I didn't see any of her flesh. I didn't see any of these dancers. She was bloody brilliant, just as Adele is brilliant, just standing there and singing. And I do wish that to empower women, we would advertise more of this, except, you know, instead of singers behinds all the time, because I think we can do better.
Yeah, I know, and I think MTV has ruined music, because music is something that you listen to, and video is something that you watch, and I think we've gotten away from true songsters and true lyrics and people who can just walk center stage, grab a microphone, and sing a song and command the attention of the audience. It's all about what you're not wearing. It's all about who's on stage with you. It's all about oiling up and gyrating. It's all about, you know, confetti cannons and laser light shows. And by the way, can you sing? That doesn't seem to be important these days. It seems to be all a distraction.
I'm going to remember that.
Right? It just seems to be all a distraction from the fact that most of these people don't have talent. But if you can distract people, like Sofia Vergara did, from the president of the Academy on his speech on diversity, I guess it's mission accomplished, right?
Well, I don't know that that's the mission that we wish to accomplish. That's something that people should really be thinking about.
No. Hey, get back to work on your book, and let us know when you're going to have that thing ready. We want to get you on the show.
Absolutely. Anytime, Jerry. Thank you so much.
Always love talking to you. Anita Finley, thanks very much. Check out her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, Amazon.com, all major book retailers. Her website, Anita Finley, FINLAY.com. Wrap it up when we get back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.